It's time for another thrilling episode of Meet a Paper Cutter, where we go behind the scenes to meet paper cutters. Here's your host, Matt Lee.
Hello and welcome to Meet a Paper Cutter, a completely new series right here on the Paper Cut blog. In these episodes, I'll be sitting down and chatting to willing and possibly unwilling members of the Paper Cut team to give you a little insight into their work, their life, and everything in between. We'll be ranging from what they do here at Paper Cut right through to where you might find them hiding out on the weekend. I'm your host, Matt Lee, and for episode one, I was lucky enough to get to sit down with our head of marketing, Rebecca Ballantyne, for a chat while she was visiting our EMEA office. So let's jump straight in and find out what interesting stories she had for us. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat to me. This is for our Meet the Paper Cutter series, so I'm hoping to give people a little insight into who you are and what you do at Paper Cut. But first of all, welcome to Bracknell.
Thank you.
What do you think of our new home?
Love, love, love. I think it's a fabulous office. It's a great use of space. Great people, really nice vibe here. And yeah, I haven't been to the previous office, but from what I hear, it's a significant improvement.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
I can imagine.
And how's it compared to Melbourne? Do you think it's similar or is it?
Oh, there's definitely, you can see that it's a paper cut office, obviously with the branding and the similar elements, but it's still got its own feel and uniqueness, as does Portland as well. So I think, you know, it definitely is a little bit different, but it's definitely got a paper cut feel.
And obviously you probably play quite a role in all the branding and making it look like paper cut as well.
Well, I'd love to say it was me, but to be honest, it really wasn't. It was my team did all the work there. So, but yes, they obviously contributed to some of the thinking and definitely with some of the branding and the brand elements.
It really makes, obviously people can't see it, but we've got some lovely graphics on the wall telling the history of paper cut and a bit about our ecosystem. And I think it's really helped bring the office together. Having that there. So awesome work by your team. Now, I know this isn't your first time in the UK, though, and I think you called it home for a period of time.
I did, indeed. I lived in London for nearly 4 years.
Okay, and whereabouts exactly did you?
Well, I worked in Marylebone. I started near Oxford Street and then moved over to Marylebone to work. I worked in advertising agencies. One of the biggest in the UK, actually, in direct marketing. And and I lived in Shepherd's Bush with all the other Aussies. I didn't live with any Aussies, only some Londoners. And then I moved to Parsons Green when I, came up in the world a little bit.
Yeah, I've got a sneaky suspicion you probably wouldn't recognise Shepherd's Bush now since they've been pretty much taken over by a massive shopping centre.
Oh, so, really? Yeah. No, we went to London on the weekend just to have a look around, but we didn't go out to where I lived. We sort of wanted to see new areas we hadn't investigated before.
Can you remember, did you have a favourite haunt while you were in the UK?
Oh, not really. The only bar that just keeps coming out in my head is All Bar None, but I don't know, and it was a chain, but it was
still exists.
Yeah. It was just the one that we tended to go to. It was consistent.
Sort of call it my go-to place because it's not it's somewhere you can go and almost have a business chat, but then also you can go with friends after work and it's sort of got that balance. It's not an all-out nightclub, as we call it.
I didn't really frequent the Walkabout or any of those big Aussie. That wasn't really my thing. But
really got into the English side of things.
I did. I suppose that was why I was there. So to live a English not life, not, you know, an Aussie life.
Yeah. So you obviously mentioned there you work for one of the biggest marketing companies. But were there any other jobs that you did that maybe were a highlight or maybe not for the best reasons? But
yeah, I had a couple. There was one I lasted 3 hours, I think, and it was horrendous. It was, and I don't know why I even decided that this would be a good idea, but I was selling paintball vouchers, and I had to go around like places like Hyde Park and different shopping centres and sell them to people off the street.
I think it's a nightmare enough to give away leaflets these days, never mind sell something.
But it was even just the whole team, like before we left, and we had to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, and everybody had to get up on the chairs and danced like Elvis, and it was this horrendous. And then we got to the we all got a bus, and we had to, you know, we bussed into the area. And then I had this dreaded feeling that this was not for me. And for the first 10 minutes I walked around, I approached two or three people, and I was nearly sick, and I just walked up to the guy and I said, I'm out. This is not the job for me. So I quit.
Didn't pursue the sales avenue, you decided to go for marketing instead.
No. Well, yeah, that was real hardcore cold sales, to approaching strangers on the street, essentially, and it's not
absolutely.
Me.
Yeah, absolutely. I hate to say it, but I'm probably that person that when you see that person with the clipboard in the street, I'm like, almost, I'm turning around walking the other way. So I can imagine it was an absolute nightmare. London played a part, but I think you mentioned to me as well that Canada was also home for a period of time as well.
Yeah, I lived in Vancouver for over a year until I pretty much got kicked out, essentially. My visa expired. But when I was over there, I used to be a hairdresser and beauty therapist many, many years ago. So, I worked over there, lived with five Canadians. My brother lived in Whistler, so I used to go up and ski on all the weekends. And, yeah, it was a fabulous city, amazing place. Yeah, loved it.
I'm beginning to realise you've done, I'm going to say, almost every job.
I've had about 12 or 13 different careers.
And you miss the talking to people while you cut their hair and do their...
well, I'm very social, and I suppose that's why I love, you know, paper cut, and there's, you know, a lot of people, spend a lot of time talking. But yeah, let's just say I cut my kids and my husband's hair, but that's my hairdressing days done. No more.
Well, it does save some money, obviously, being able to do it for them. Do they have specific requirements, though, especially the kids, as to how it has to be?
Well, they've all got curly hair, so it's not like big afros, so it's not really, you know, that much we can do. My you wouldn't think that I could cut hair. If you looked at one of my sons, his mission is to see how big his afro can get. And he's looking dreadful, and it's summer, and his head gets all hot. But anyway, he's can't see it, but he's about out here at the moment.
I'm just going, you wanted this. Don't moan at me when your head's hot.
Yeah, so hopefully one day he'll come to his senses and he'll let me cut it off again.
Fingers crossed, yeah. So eventually, obviously, it led you back to Australia. What drew you in? Did you just had enough of travelling the world, or...?
No, I was sponsored to when I was over in the UK, and I wanted to extend my sponsorship. But realistically, I'd sort of pushed it to the wire as long as I could, and my visa expired and I couldn't stay. So, but look, it was time. I'd been away from home for quite a long time, and, I didn't live the healthiest life over here, and I was looking forward to going home. You know, I end up playing sport every night and came really healthy. And so, it was good to go home and change again.
You obviously got home, got back into work, and then eventually it led to paper cut. So obviously we haven't touched on it yet. What do you do here at Paper Cut?
At Paper Cut, so I'm head of the marketing department, which includes everything from communications, our brand awareness, digital and online, user experience, anything to do around how we represent Paper Cut out in the market.
Yeah, and I think your first entry into Paper Cut was to cover maternity cover for someone. So I guess when that came to its end and Paper Cut reached out and said, oh, we'd really love you to stay with us, what really drew you in and said, yeah, this is where I want to spend some more time?
I knew pretty early on that I really wanted to stay. I've worked in advertising agencies for a very long time, which great, fantastic culture, but really difficult for work-life balance. You work horrendous hours. And then I'd gone and worked client-side in very big corporates. And again, you know, hours not necessarily as bad, but the culture and it just wasn't, you know, what I loved. And so when I came to Paper Cut, I felt like I got this really amazing mix of work-life balance, flexibility, great people, the culture, you know, really made it stand out. So having experienced all different types of office environments before, I knew that it was going to be something that I would really love to stay if the opportunity arose.
Yeah, I can so relate to that, having come from a corporate background myself as well. It's so different, but also in such a positive way.
Yeah.
And now I look back and I go, my God, how did I cope in that old role? Yeah, I just absolutely love this environment. And you can just feed off the culture as well, and it makes creativity and all that sort of thing. I always remember a funny story I read about Google, actually, and something they do is in their canteens, they always try and make people queue for the canteen. And it's, well, why do you make people queue?
And
it says, well, if you queue, that makes conversations. Conversations lead to ideas. Ideas lead to the next big thing. So I think that culture is, it just plays such a big part in Papercut and making it successful.
Oh, I would absolutely agree. And, you know, it's so true. People make culture. And, you know, when in the recruiting process, a lot of time is spent really getting to know the candidates to make sure that they really, you know, will represent and be part of the culture that is Papercut today.
Yeah, I think that's something that our people and culture team tell me a lot is, it's almost that 50-50 split. You can be the most qualified person in the world, but if you're not going to fit in and if you're someone that loves a fully corporate environment, then maybe Papercut's not the company for you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So you lead the marketing team. So I know at various different companies that a marketing department can look completely different. So could you give us a little breakdown of how the marketing team looks at Papercut?
Sure. So we have I've got three sort of team leads that, you know, run their division. We have product and channel marketing. So product marketing is understanding our product and how to position it, how to talk about its unique selling points and, you know, value propositions, who the audience is. So really help define and understand how we go to market from a product perspective. Our channel team really manage the relationship with our ecosystem, how to, you know, what tools and how to support not only our channel team at Papercut, but also our ASCs and our resellers and our partners. And then we have the digital and online team who look after our website and our portal and all our digital assets and how we drive our digital footprint, essentially. And also what that user experience is and from a digital perspective and how they connect with our brand.
Yeah, I think one of probably the most critical areas of marketing in the current age, digital and social media and online presence and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, your website, you know, is the window to Papercut for, you know, from a prospect's perspective, from a customer, from our ecosystem. So it plays a very big part. You know, it's how everyone connects with us to some degree. We also have our communication. So looking around thought leadership and, you know, our blogs and our content and how we talk and position Papercut. That includes also our social media and how we engage in those forums. And we also have our brand, and that's really about, you know, our identity, you know, both visually but also, you know, how we, you know, communicate what our tone of voice is and all of those assets as well. In a nutshell, that's us.
So I guess someone...
There's a bit more, but...
yeah. That's a great insight. So maybe we're probably going to have someone listening that's thinking, I think Papercut's the place I want to go and work, and I've got experience in marketing, or I work in marketing at the moment. So for you, what does that perfect addition to your marketing team look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's really somebody that's really passionate about what they do and love what they do. And obviously experience and all of those things, but, you know, coming in with that enthusiasm and passion and ability to, you know, be flexible, really understand, you know, have a crack, test and learn is, you know, a key part. I think if you've got those elements, then, you know, the rest, you know, will evolve. But you've got to love and have that passion for me. That's a key differentiator.
Yeah, not just here to get the job done. You've got the passion.
No, I mean, there's lots of, you know, very experienced marketers and obviously we want the people that can actually do the job. But it's having that passion for it because it really changes. You know, they will follow up, they'll keep going, they'll try new things, not just be cookie cutter.
Yep. So that perfect person finds their way to Papercut. We offer them a position and they turn up for their first day. Can you remember much about your first day and how you were introduced to Papercut?
Mine was a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest. It was sort of a weird period of Papercut. So I just remember thinking, how on earth am I going to remember everybody's names? I can't remember any coffee and I don't know which coffee team is who and I don't know what that means. There was so many systems. I'm like, how can I learn Slack and Jira and, you know, Gmail and a lot of setup yourself as well. They really, which is a good thing, I think. It actually really teaches you to be self-sufficient from an IT perspective. I just remember coming home thinking, I'm exhausted. My brain is just, fried. But, from day one, though, I was, definitely sold.
So just touching back on that marketing piece, I know I mentioned in the conversation that social media and online presence and everything is becoming or is really a massive part of that. Is there anything you're seeing in the market and trends that you're seeing that marketing wise it's going in the direction of, things that are starting to appear that weren't there before that are becoming a massive, or you think will become a massive part of?
Do you know what? It's really difficult. And the reason I say this is traditionally we've looked at it from a global presence and a global perspective. Where I think it's changing and where we need to grow is we need to look at it from a regional perspective because it's not a one size fits all. We've grown big enough that we really need to think about what does this mean from an Americas perspective versus EMEA, and then we have all of the overlay of them translations and different languages, and some countries do not want to be communicated in English, so that is probably our biggest challenge. Social media does play a very big role for us in that it is a way for us to engage globally, and we're putting more emphasis on it, a big way to increase our awareness. For us, it's really engaging our own Papercut team to help bring that voice. What we do know is that if you can engage your own teams and employees, you can actually quadruple your reach. And so if we look at it from that perspective and then we look at our ecosystem, so then we have our ASCs, and if their ASCs then can engage their employees, all of a sudden our reach can be really huge in relatively simple, cheap and easy platform to deploy communication. So it is becoming a focus of ours for that reason.
Yeah, I think social media doesn't need you to necessarily invest a massive amount of money into it.
No.
It's if you've got the people within the company that want to get out there and share the brand and then onwards into the channel, then a lot of it is solved by other people for you.
Yeah, it is a really good way. I think the challenge with social is you've got to be smart with your content and have, it's not just about frequency and throwing stuff out there. It needs to add value. People, will engage with, posts that are actually interesting and will only share what's interesting too. So you do need a really strong strategic, approach to what content and when and why and how. But getting the engagement within your own teams is going to be a focus of ours. And from what we've seen from a statistical perspective, it's proven to be, a really strong strategy.
Well, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat. It's been really interesting and given, I think, me an insight, if nobody else, into marketing and the world of that in paper cut. So thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, stay paper cutting.